17 minutes after 11. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban. Welcome to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. It is Thursday morning, and my co-host this morning, Maulana Naeem Dokrat. Maulana Sahab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Maulana?
Very, very well, alhamdulillah, shukr, Maulana. The month of Ramadan passing by very quickly, but alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has tremendous mercy on us and is making it really easy for us here in South Africa.
Ji, alhamdulillah, shukr, we cannot complain. All our fasts so far have gone well, and the days are very short, and alhamdulillah, we can say that maybe some people might be experiencing a bit of cold weather, but alhamdulillah, our weather overall also has been good.
Alhamdulillah, shukr. And our guest on the line, I hope we have Idris Khabisa on the line today.
Alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Maulana's both? So nice to interact with you all.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Idris bhai, how is the month of Ramadan going for you?
Alhamdulillah, you know, we often say this, that you know, we have it so easy, and may this be the best month of Ramadan for us, and other months better than this, other months of Ramadan better than this, inshallah. We make dua that Allah you know, accepts our prayer, that he would. It all depends on us, and inshallah I pray that it makes it easy for the ummah, inshallah.
Ameen. In this way, for this Ramadan, we are going to be joined on the program with our co-host, Maulana Naeem Dokrat, who's one of the newcomers to Radio Islam.
Alhamdulillah, he spoke with such facility and competence, I thought he's going to mentor us in terms of how we should do our program. Alhamdulillah.
Mashallah. In this way, the month of Ramadan, the month of spirituality, the month of mending and making up. And I think that is an excellent theme for us and our program. While we are making up with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to make up with our fellow men as well.
Yes, absolutely. And I was hoping, Maulana, with your permission, that something that I would love to speak about is the fact that how old people are being treated, you know, and I think it's something, it's worrying, it's of grave concern, and I think we should talk about that also, inshallah.
Okay, so the discussion on how people are being treated. Idris bhai, there's so many different interactions that we have with people in many different parts of our lives. We have our home, we have our marriage, we have our kids, we have our parents, then we have our neighbors, our relatives and friends and fellow musallis, etc. And then we have our work interactions that we have, people that we deal with, and it is very in general, you know, the value of human life. And so there's so many different interactions that we have. Who would you like to start off with?
You know what, let us speak about first, you know, I tell you why. A brother came to speak to me the other day, and let us speak about the old people for a few minutes. And the thing is, a few observations I've also made. And it's a month of Ramadan, and you find that, you know, old age homes are becoming a common currency in our community. And not only that, I mean, what do old people want? They want companionship. They want the children to look at them with the eye of love. I mean, you find in some homes where the old person, because they do not have the all the capacities together, are like invalids. They are confined to a room. Surely, at least in meal time, if you cannot bring them to the dining room, at least go and eat your meals with them, talk to them, be with them, smile at them, because old people know exactly when they are wanted. I mean, what is very disconcerting and emotional is the fact that, you know, and I love my sisters, I love them for the sake of Allah, but sadly, you know, there's a growing number of them show absolutely no compassion to the mother-in-law at home, then no compassion whatsoever. And especially when the mother-in-law is so dependent on material support, emotional support, physical support from members of the family. In fact, their sons also show a lot of insensitivity to them purely because of the insistence on the part of the wife, you know. And the thing is, you know, the beauty part of marriage is one of the reasons for marriage is, inshallah, is to connect you with Allah and, inshallah, you know, to take you to Jannah. And when women, you know, one of the things I tell people, you know, a man and a woman are different in many ways, of course. But one of the ways they are different is a man gets tremendous joy, Maulana, tremendous joy, when he learns from his parents that your wife has been good to them, that she was compassionate and caring, she is loving. And men will love her more than anything else. And I think this is a worrying factor. And I'm not attributing it all to the sisters. And I think what has happened, men need to assert themselves regarding that, because Jannah lies beneath the feet of the mother and not the feet of the wife.
Yes, subhanAllah. We have to acknowledge the role that these elders have played in our lives and our growth and our development, and understand their status that Allah Ta'ala has given them. And it is for no other reason that we are respectful and that we treat them kindly than that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has mentioned it in the Quran. And it is because of our kindness to our elders that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will appoint people to be kind and take care of us in our days of need, in our days of weakness. And it is by, there are so many elderly people who are aging that are left all alone and they don't have a family. The reality is that they don't have people around them, and we should, I think, go out of our way to search for these individuals and provide some sort of kindness and some sort of assistance to them.
Absolutely, because Maulana, I mean, you're so right, you know, that our Jannah, I mean, firstly, is making sure that we are obedient to them. If they are pleased with us, then Allah is pleased with us. And inshallah, we pray that Allah is pleased with them. Yesterday, you won't believe this, Maulana, I spoke to a 90-year-old woman. She's 89, turning 90. And we are talking about this theme. And she says, she recalls when she was a young girl, when her mother said to her, you know, because she's a dressmaker, her mother said to her, would you make me a dress, you know? So the daughter replied, okay. She said, okay. And the mother was so hurt by that okay, she began to cry. She says, I'm asking you, you just say okay, you know? And the mother, up to today, she still cries about it. She's 89 years old. And sometimes, you know, we pray, really, that we never hurt them, because whether we like it or not, we are going to die. Whether we like it or not, we are going to be questioned about relationship with our parents. Whether we like it or not, it can have a permanent impact on us, of course, unless we turn to Allah and we do things for our parents, you know, build boreholes, make dua for them, read Quran for them, do whatever we can, inshallah, that we need to do this. And what you are saying is right. It's a fundamental thing, you know.
Maulana Naeem?
Maulana, you know, just looking at it and listening to Uncle Idris speaking, hadith comes to mind regarding Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that it's narrated in Tirmidhi that a person came to see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he was of old age, and at that time the people did not make way for this old man to pass through the crowd. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at that time said, he is not one of us who does not show mercy to our young ones and does not respect our old ones. So subhanAllah, from this year alone, this would be a sufficient warning for those who are younger in age to show respect and to honor those who are older than us, who have much more experience and who are well versed in many aspects of life and are fully aware of the things that are happening around them. as well as we also see that, you know, looking at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in another hadith that part of glorifying Allah is honoring that Muslim whose hair has gone grey. So subhanAllah, all of this year we're looking and we're seeing the from the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And indeed today it is very sad to see that many parents have been thrown away into old age homes. They have been dumped and forgotten about. And what is happening is that these people here also, like Idrisba has said, that, you know, they require attention, they also want some attention. And what has happened is that many of us have forgotten it, and this is indeed a very serious topic that needs discussion and also action as well.
Yeah, you know, yes, Maulana, you're so right. You see, but the point is this: sometimes there may be three or four siblings, and the wife says, you know, you've got brothers, and why should you look after them? They must also look after. I mean, you know what? That is their responsibility, but you must do whatever you can. Remember this. Whether we like it or not, the world is not Jannah. This is a place you're going to be tested with many, many things. And we need to understand that our life on this earth is a temporary life. And we must be able to show compassion and care, really. And to those of us who have not done it, you know, we must really, really be remorseful about it. And you know what, I mean, the thing is, up to now I cry and I hope and pray that my beloved mother and father, they were pleased with me, and Allah was pleased with them. You know, this is the reality of life, you know. When you think of Allah in the time of prosperity, Allah will think of you in time of adversity. And when you show compassion to Allah's creation, surely, 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 you'll be amply compensated for that, you know. And then, you see, that's why it's so important that you to show respect for the aged, you know. And if you have not done it to your parents, do it to be someone that is close to them, you know.
Yes. It's almost half past, but before we go for our break, you know, the often asked question is that who should take care of the parents, and you have a few siblings, and is it the eldest that is responsible to take care of the parents? Is it the youngest? Is it the daughters? Is it the sons? And people have different opinions and different observations with regards to that. And the reality is that every one of the siblings should actually have this desire in their heart that they are the ones to take care of their parents, and they have the honor of looking after their parents.
You know, you're so right. In the end, every sibling would know whether he's caring and loving to his own parents. Every sibling would know that the day his parents pass away or her parents pass away, whether they were worthy children, whether they were caring people. That's the reality of life. It's something you cannot ignore. So I think this is a fundamental thing that everyone needs to play the part, and we need to be supportive of each other. Because in the end, you know, there is an 85-year-old man that I know. The thing that is paining him up to today, he's saying he phones his sister up every other day. He said, I don't know why my son stopped talking to me. At least he must tell me. If I made a mistake, I'm prepared to say I'm sorry. He came down all the way to meet his son, but his son did not want to meet him. I mean, you know, why? You know, in the end, we all want peace of mind, you know. We all want, you know, to feel wanted, to feel appreciated, and to feel acknowledged. And the worst thing is when you are old, when you are aged, when you are helpless, no one is there. Of course, Allah is there. Allah is a Ghafur Rahim. Allah is there. He sees to your situation. Please, my brothers, my sisters, if you got your father and mother alive, hug them today. Tell them you love them. Inshallah, there'll be a lot of difference.
Inshallah, Aziz. We're going to take a little bit of a break right now, and we can welcome our listeners to call in to the program as well on 011-854-1541. Laim, share the SMS number as well, inshallah.
Yeah, our SMS number is, you can WhatsApp us on 072-786-1548, or you can SMS us on 488-55, inshallah, and we will try and put all your questions before you respond, inshallah.
Welcome back to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International, and warm welcome back to our guest, Brother Idris Khamisa. The question we asked just before the break was, who takes care of the elderly parents? Who do the parents move in, or who moves in with the parents? Is it the daughters? Is it the sons? And the whole idea is that everybody should desire to take care of them. A listener sent an image in, says, a mother can take care of 10 children, but sometimes 10 children can't take care of a mother.
Yeah, that's so true. That is so true, Mona. Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you.
It's that so true, isn't it?
Yes, definitely.
And also, Molana, in the end, you see, the bottom line is the following, that old people should feel at home somewhere, and for them to spend 3 months here, 4 months there, not something that brings them joy, you know. And because they are creatures of habit, they're used to, they must stay wherever they are used to, really. You know, the choice is theirs. And every son must play, or daughter must play their particular part in whatever they can. And I pray that, you know, the daughters themselves have husbands who understand. And I'm not saying that you must not support the parents of the wife, you know. You know, it has to be also reciprocal in many ways. But the son has a huge responsibility to look after them. And it's a beautiful responsibility, because the du'as of parents are accepted. And when parents are pleased, as I said, Allah is pleased with you.
See, the reason why we have a question here that has come up, and it says that I would like to know why some women tell their husbands that if you give your parents some allowance or money per month, then you have to give my parents too, even though husbands in-laws are wealthy and sufficient and can provide for themselves. Does he have to give to his in-laws as well if he gives to his parents?
Not at all. There is no obligation there. If there is a situation where his in-laws are indigent, he needs to support them, alhamdulillah, he must do this. The story nowadays I hear of young couples getting married, they want to spend 50% time here, 50% time there. I mean, I heard of girls saying that, you know, if he spends 50% of his time at his parents' home, or spend 50% of my parents' home. This is not what it's all about. Naturally, what is important, that the husband himself must be compassionate and caring, and give the time also, I mean, whatever you can, out of love and out of affection. And because Islam is not about me, myself, I. It's about making sure that all of us are happy. And it's about give and take, you know. And every situation is different, you know.
Yeah, we also received the SMS that one person has written here that, alhamdulillah, I have a son and a daughter, and both of them take care of me after being a widow and a pensioner, and I make dua that Allah Ta'ala keeps them happy and grant them good health and lots of barakah in their wealth.
Alhamdulillah, may Allah bless them, bless the children, and alhamdulillah, it's so good to hear that.
Idris bhai, that's the beauty of taking care of your parents, and that's the whole essence of it, is that when you do take care of your parents, you become a recipient of their du'as. And those du'as that parents make for their children, and especially after the children have rendered some sort of service or khidmah, while the children have taken care of them, those du'as that parents give their children, those du'as are extra special, because you know they are coming from the heart, and those du'as have real effect, alhamdulillah.
Yes, you know what you're saying is so true, you know, because there were times all of us might have experienced it, when our parents, you know, they get emotional when they are thankful for some good that you have done, some act of charity, some generosity you have shown, you know. and that is, you know, something that's so gratifying. And the other way thing is also, I recall when I used to speak to my father, I tell my father, Daddy, Daddy, you know, are you preparing for your qabr? You know, because we're all concerned. We're all concerned that Allah must be pleased with our parents. Therefore, the Quran is clear. Save yourself and your family from the fire of hell, you know.
Mm-hmm. And invoking the du'as of parents is, it reminds me of something that our Ustad, Mawlana Sulaiman Choksi, used to tell us in class when speaking of people who request du'as. He said that one is that you meet a person and that person requests du'as for you, you make du'a for that person, and that du'a has a certain effect. But one is that a person has done a special favor or an act of kindness or has helped you, assisted you in one way or the other, and then you make du'a for that person. That du'a has a special effect because that du'a certainly comes from the heart. And mashallah, parents need to make du'a for the children, and more importantly, children need to do that which invokes the pleasure of parents and invokes the du'a of parents.
Absolutely, we need to do that.
You know, also, another SMS, WhatsApp just came in, Idrisbay, and it says that, Alhamdulillah, I just met an old lady and she introduced her daughter, and the first thing that she said, that this is my daughter and she looks after me. And she says, you know, how happy this woman was. And this is what Islam is about, it, you know, showing us and teaching us that we see how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam respected the elders. And I remember my ustad used to always say, and this was something that resonated, that he said that, you know, 100 anbiya alayhi salam can stand on one side and make dua for you, but the dua of your parents will always be greater and will be more readily accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I say that, you know, when your parents pass away, the whole of humanity can never take the place.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That is absolutely true.
And Maulana, whilst you are here also, I want to just give feedback on the conference. Also, we need to speak a few minutes about inshallah.
Ji. Inshallah, we can. We'll take a short break now. It's almost quarter to. Let's take a short break. When we come back, we can speak about the marriage conference, inshallah. Before we go on to our discussion regarding the marriage conference, I've received a message from a sister who says that, what does a person do when you do everything to please the older people? You sacrifice your own happiness and comfort to bring them comfort and happiness, but it's never good enough. And they still complain to other people about you. How do you deal with the despondency and the anger you feel within?
Yes, you know what? For me, I also got two messages which I want to read. For that one, you know, in the end, the bottom line is that, you know, Allah knows what you have done, and that's important. You must continue to do good, no matter how you are perceived. You continue to do the good, continue to do the good deeds. And inshallah, your reward is with Allah. And sometimes, you know what, old people are old people, and they get frail. Sometimes their judgment is also impaired. Sometimes it is manipulated by others around them. But if you need to rectify it, you do it with hikmah. If the old people can cope with it, you do it, get your husband to do it. But in the end, you must always do whatever you can, the best you can. Long as your heart is pure and clean, your reward is with Allah. Therefore, you find that, you know, many of us spend time trying to appease humanity. It's far easier to please Allah. Sister, Allah bless you, or brother, you continue to do what you are doing. I've got another two messages, I think it's fair, I must read them. Salams, brother. My dad passed away 24 years ago. My mom has been living with me ever since. My hubby is a wonderful man and sees my mom's every need. My other siblings don't even bother to come and visit mom. The condition was that my mom should come and stay with each one of them for 4 months at a time. It's like living like a gypsy. I'm looking after my mother for all the pleasure of Allah. Alhamdulillah, May Allah bless you and reward you. But sister, do me a favor. Do not, make sure that your mother sees your siblings in a positive light. Try to make excuses for them. Do not aid and say, yes, mommy, I know what's wrong with my brothers. They're not prepared to do anything for you and whatnot. Please, you must at least try to keep the muhabba and make your, at least the fact that they're offering them, mummy, their home is a very good sign. But more importantly, they should come and visit, as often as possible, and spend time with her. If she is not an invalid, at least take her out, do something like that, inshallah. And there's one more message I want to read, I think to be fair, the people send messages. Yes. Should try to read those messages. Right, yes, this is the one, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, right? This is okay. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. What can we do, Uncle Idris, when a father living with one son, the arguments and disagreements, but he has company when he wants, and warm food, and home care. After seeing one argument and after another, the son steps in. After a big argument, the same father is now on his own, does his own washing, has to warm his own food to eat. And after causing all the trouble, the other son comes to visit one time in 2 to 3 months only. The father now doesn't want to see the daughter-in-law and son that's living on the property. The whole family is broken apart of the issue. The father is 85 years old. Yes, it's a very sad situation. I think someone who understands the father, who has won the confidence, you should engage him and perhaps, let him know about the pain you are going through. And if there has been any misunderstanding, of course, you apologize. And I pray that the family is reconciled, because if this condition persists and the father passed away, there'll be regrets, and at least you know that you have tried to do something about it.
Yes, inshallah. Aziz, it is why you were mentioning about the marriage conference.
Yes, alhamdulillah. Again, I want to say the marriage conference is targeting four kinds of people. The one is someone that is getting married, someone who wants to get married, people that are married, and people that want to improve the marriage and the family. And I must say again, Maulana, the speakers, alhamdulillah, we are blessed in this country. We get every now and then scholars that come here, and also we've got wonderful scholars in our own country. And these scholars, inshallah, with the program we have to offer, is going to be very dynamic and inspirational, and the tickets are selling, alhamdulillah, and our aim is to fill the sentence center of 2,500 people. Maulana, both the Maulana, I hope you're going to come, inshallah. And they can go to the website marriageconference.org, or they could phone this number up, and I'll share that number with you now. They could phone this number, 011, have you got that? Right, whilst I'm doing that, I'm looking for the number here, there we are. Right, 011, there we are, see, when you get old, we can't use these things as well as others, right? Right, so it's 011-367-0600. It's 011-367-0600. I'll say it one more time. 011-367-0600. Or you could phone mobile 082-851-0243. 082-851-0243. And if the first caller, I will give the first caller a ticket, whoever phones now.
Okay, whoever phones on that number or on our program?
Oh, you know, they can phone us, phone the program.
Okay, so 011-854-154 is the number to dial in. And whoever calls right now will get a free ticket to the marriage conference that's going to be taking place in the Centen Convention Center. Now, what's the dates again, Idris Bhai?
30th of July.
The 30th of July, inshallah, Aziz. Okay, so call right now and you can get a free ticket inshallah al-Aziz. And don't worry, we won't trouble you like how Maulana Kara was troubling the people in the quiz last night. And quite humorous, Maulana Kara. I don't know if you listen to our quiz on Radio Islam.
No, no, Maulana, you are too loving to trouble anyone, you know.
Okay.
I'm not saying Maulana Kara is a no.
Okay, Idris Bhai, I think we've got our first caller on the line.
Okay.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam.
You are live, sister?
See? I would love to go in the same. Tell us
why we should keep the ticket.
I've been listening about it all week. In some of it meant for me, I would love to go. I think I will really benefit from it.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Mackenzie Park in Benoni.
Okay.
The sister, what you do, sister, after the program, you could send your details to me, 082-8251-991, and I'll get the organizers to phone you, right?
Okay, Jazakallah.
Alaikum salam.
It is my final words of advice, inshallah, before we sign off.
My final words of advice, I'm saying, please, my brothers and my sisters, do not forsake your Jannah. Please, my brothers, I love you for the sake of Allah. Please, you know, we all have regrets. Our parents are gone. I don't want you to have regrets. Connect with your old parents. Look after them. Pamper them. You look after them, Allah is going to look after you. There'll be barakah in your rosy. So, inshallah, the month of Ramadan, you know, be there, connect with them, inshallah. And Allah bless you all, inshallah.
Inshallah, Aziz. Jazakumullah khairan for your time this morning. And Mawlana Naeem, inshallah, we'll be back together on Monday morning.
Inshallah.
Shukran to our studio operator, Brother Ziyad, from us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.